The team converges on Tantus. Hemlock makes one last stand. One last mission is completed and more as the Sky Guys are back to recap the series finale of The Bad Batch.
All right, we are back here on the Sky Guys podcast covering the very last episode of The Bad Batch, the series finale. The cavalry has arrived on Tantus here. One of your hosts, Mike Phillips. Join me as always, the man's voice here in the narration every single week. Pete Constori is here. Pete, how are you?
Doing well. We made it. The show is now complete. We have made it to the series finale. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about what you thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, also here with us today, the old man in the cave, Nick Frietta, is here. Nick, how are you?
Doing great. It's over. Can you believe it? Yeah. The show is over.
Our first completed multi-season show.
That's right. It's very, exciting, but also kind of depressing. It's gone. It's over. And excited to talk about it, though.
Yeah, definitely not the end of Star Wars animation, that's for sure. We know there's going to be something coming in the next year or two, but...
Yeah. Well, something coming in 3 days.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be another, show coming in, 3 days. Not like another Tales of season.
Correct.
All right, and Pete, if you want to subscribe to us on the Sky Guys, you can do so Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon, all usual suspects. Simply search for the Sky Guys, your favorite podcast platforms, as you get all our episodes there. Plus, we have a very brief off-season coming up here after Bad Batch ends, before Acolyte begins. So we have some fun stuff planned for that little month break here between shows.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of it. Like Mike said, we have a bunch of stuff planned for you.
Yep. And Nick, if you want to follow us on social media, how can you do that?
You can follow at Sky Guys Podcast. It's on Instagram and Twitter X and Threads and TikTok.
Yep. You can also check out the YouTube version, Mike Phillips on YouTube. We got all the graphics. You got all the props here. And it turns out that we have the Omega for about the first 45 minutes of the show. This one might need to be updated going forward.
Hello.
Yeah. All right. So
I'm back.
Yep. We are back here. And Nick, we have a little bit of Star Wars news to cover here that came out this week. We got some interesting stuff.
Yeah, we do. The first thing is The Mandalorian and Grogu. That's the movie that's kind of replacing season 4 of Mando. It may be going into production very soon, possibly even before our next record. So very, very soon.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. That movie has a tentative release date, I think. What was it, May 20-something of 2026?
Yeah, they actually put a date on the calendar for that one. I think it's Memorial Day weekend that movie comes out, 2026.
Yeah, sounds cool. A trailer for The Acolyte that aired in South Korea revealed the... You're going to have to help me on the pronunciation, but Viceroy.
I think the Nemoidians.
The Nemoidians. So it was Viceroy from the prequels, and they'll be in the show. And they look great. It looks phenomenal. Looks like it was ripped right out of 2005, just better quality. So they look fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a live-action Nemoidian since 2005 either.
I don't think so either. I mean, we talked about it off air, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive we haven't had any others since. Third thing is that LEGO dropped a short video celebrating 25 years of LEGO Star Wars. It included many characters, including Cal Kestis, which is leading to the rumor that there'll be a Cal Kestis mini set coming soon.
Pete, would you get the Cal Kestis minifigure?
If the price is right, if it's overpriced, then no. As much as I'd want it, I gotta budget my Lego buying. I can't do it all.
Yeah, we'll have more Lego talk in the future, though, Pete. We got a special episode coming up after Acolyte's over about Lego.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for that.
Yep. And Nick, anything else?
The last thing is, I'll say it in a joking matter, and then I'll say it seriously. Actress who's in show says that said show is good. But the real thing is Kerry Condon, who is going to be a supporting character on the Skeleton Crew show, says she had a positive experience on the show and praised the performance of the child actors.
All right. So something positive in the wild for Skeleton Crew, which you haven't heard much about in 2 years.
Yeah. They're going to sneak it in there. They're going to sneak it in. It's going to be like what they did with, what was the name of that Marvel show? Echo?
Hawkeye.
No. Echo.
I think it's going to say in Diaz as Hawkeye's right around Thanksgiving. He's going to drop it.
The timing, I agree with you, but I mean, I think they're going to do the Echo thing where it's just they barely even tell people it's happening, and then it just kind of happens, and it's all in one day, and everyone's like, oh, it's over.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see. But anything else? Is that it for now?
That's it for now.
All right, that's it for now. Let's get into the episode here. Our finale here. We got about 50 minutes of content, which is a little less than I was hoping for. We hope they maximize their time well. Your Pete, what did you think about how they did with this finale?
I think it was good. I was a little worried about the runtime, but I think they hit a lot of the major points. Still a lot they didn't talk about, in my opinion. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I enjoyed it. I think it was a great series finale, and I think they checked a lot of boxes for me.
Nick, what do you think?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. Like Pete said, there's a lot of still unanswered questions, but maybe some of them weren't meant to be answered, and that's okay. It was a really good season finale. Was it the best episode of the show? No. Was it like, oh my god, I can't wait to watch this finale again? No, but it was really good. I'm happy it happened.
Yeah, and I think we get to the epilogue. I think we could discuss here, like, they clearly, I think, changed the plan for a few characters of what they wanted to do with them. I know the actress Michelle Ong, who voices Omega, said Omega originally had a much bigger plan for the future than what she ends up getting. So it's like, talk about that, sort of tease that out. I think when we do the series review show like a week or two, I think we'll definitely have more time to think about that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's kind of go through this episode, do it in bits and pieces first, where you sort of get the streamline at the end here. I want to start with the Rampart Hemlock thing that really is one of the first things we see in the episode here, where Rampart Hemlock basically is have insults about, oh, you know, your base is so secret, we found it so easily. Rampart's hanging out next to Nala Say, he's a cell next door. And while this is all happening here, like, Rampart basically just takes shots at Hemlock. And I think it's a little bit of foreshadowing here, Pete, that, like, Hemlock is not as good. It turns out has a very sloppy episode compared to, like, what we've seen him in the past.
I mean, I was kind of waiting for him to trip up. I think what's the word I'm looking for? Personality of the Empire, that they think they're overconfident, right? They think everything's good until it's not. So for sure, they show his weakness there, which we haven't seen much of the whole series.
Yeah, that's for sure here. And Nick, I do think also we'll bounce around to some plans here. Come back to Hemlock in a minute here, but go to Omega and the kids here. Omega's big battle plan is that she basically reprograms a droid to knock out Dr. Scalder with a nerve agent, basically. And then they basically climb upstairs in the dumbwaiter. They free the Zillow Beast, let him cause some chaos. So overall, I thought this is not quite riding the Zillow Beast, but that was effective.
Definitely effective. Good plan. And yeah, it worked. I guess there was no one else watching, just her.
Yeah.
Seemed like in prior episodes, there were many people in that area. Seems like there was only just her in this one, but no big deal. Good plan. It worked.
Yeah. Don't forget the base under attack. So a lot of people got scattered.
True. True. That could easily be it.
Cause Omega basically said, Pete, like, I was like, this is our time to make the move because they're going to be a little divided attention right now.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was very smart. I think this is like the first time we actually see Omega think fully like a clone.
Yes.
Or at least a clone trooper. So it's a quick transition for Omega. I feel like in the last two episodes, it's very, very like, okay, I'm going to think like the troopers do as well.
Yeah, that's for sure here. And I'll go over the team itself for a second here, because we pick up them outside the base where Wrecker's arm has been messed up the whole episode after he tries to wrestle the lion thing last time and he gets hurt. Crosshair has this plan, Nick, where he says, hey, like, I know what the base is like. I'm the only one who can go in here. Go back. You guys go back to the communications relay. Contact Rex for help, and I'll go in alone. And then the others basically refuse and says, okay, like we're not abandoning, like, the squad. This is our team. And Crosshair nobly goes, oh, the team died when Tech died. So I thought that was an interesting line, Nick, this Crosshair sort of fatalism.
I did, too. It seemed like it was going to be a powerful moment, like clones don't leave clones behind, and then he kind of brought that up. But, I mean, everyone's missing Tech still. It shows that even he's missing Tech.
Yeah, Tech, even though we never saw him again, and I'm very glad, Pete, they kept the character dead. I think it made the series as a whole better.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think if he did come back as something, I mean, we'll talk about it later about what we saw later in the episode, but if he came back in sort of an evil capacity, I don't think it would have been the worst thing ever. Would have been a little cheesy, maybe. But I mean, look, I agree with you with the sense of I like that they kept the character dead. There was closure about that character, and that's it. We move on.
Yeah. That's for sure here. They decide to go ahead in together here. We'll come back to that as well here. We have the Echo Emery subplot here where Emery decides it's time to info dump on Echo here, and that she tells him first that she's learned the purpose of the facility is, that it's wrong. She wants to do the right thing by the children. Then she tells him, okay, here's what you need to know. This is Omega is vital for Project Necromancer. They go back to the vault. They realize Omega's gone. Hemlock blames Scalder for it. And Echo realizes Omega let the Zillow Beast out as a diversion. But Pete, the info dumping, I think, was interesting. It's just, again, like, more, for, I think, for the audience than for Echo with the Project Necromancer stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, all right, so full disclosure, while watching the show, I was running around with me. Did we get a full description of what Project Necromancer is?
No, we just heard that Omega is important about it. Important for
right.
Important.
So I just want to make sure that I was very clear on that, because that's what I thought I heard and that's what I thought I saw. But it is, again, like you said, much more for the audience than anything.
Yeah, and Nick, we also see here that Emery reached the Zillow Beast Lair to see the chaos is unleashed. They've realized Omega did this. Omega's on her way to a transport hangar. So they basically catch up to them. They get the kids on a shuttle. So really good work here by Echo and Omega and Emery quickly going through this base here, getting to these kids before they could get themselves into trouble.
They were good. They worked really well together. They had a good dynamic going throughout the episode. And, you know, no complaints in that. And a lot of information said out loud, but nothing really new to us. Just Echo learning stuff, you know, like we knew Omega was vital to Project Necromancer before she said that. But it's good for Echo to find out.
Yeah, good for Echo to find out. Something I think we could talk about what happens to Echo ultimately later on. But while this is going on here, the team gets inside the base. Hemlock is made aware that the Zillow Beast has broken loose. He says, okay, we're going to send some shuttles at the Zillow Beast. And then Scorch correctly quotes that. It's like, you know, like that leaves us very vulnerable to like these rogue clones coming here. Hemlock says, that's exactly what I want. So, Pete, we see that Hemlock unleashes his full squadron of shadow clones. We see a bunch of the different powers. I got the sniper, got the swords. We got some martial artists here. This was a cool like group to see fighting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was an ode to the Bad Batch a little bit too. We got pretty much everyone had their specialty. And I think that, you know, Hemlock used them as a template, if you will, and saw that the Bad Batch was a special clone force, right? They were definitely working great together, and he knew they were a threat. Again, though, Hemlock shows his overconfidence here, and as we find out later in the episode, it doesn't really work out the way he thought.
Yeah. Nick, what did you think about the Shadow clone team?
Pretty cool, right?
Yep.
What do you think they are?
I think Hemlock told us basically. He says, like, I just picked the best of the bunch. I just programmed with traits.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And one of them to me looked just like Tech.
Yeah.
So I do still think that one of them was Tech, but we never got to actually see it. But it seems like they turned the clones into the Shadow clone, and then I guess they're bad after that. But you can just, I don't know, one of them had his goggles, it looked like.
Yeah, well, we could discuss that later on here, but while the team runs into these shadow clones, they get completely, like, demolished. They get captured, they get brought to the lab where Hemlock's basically threatening to, like, turn them into the next version of shadow clones. Omega sees this, she tells Echo, they basically go back for the rest of the team here, and this is a first pit stop here. We remembered the mission that we're here to free all the clones, so they go down to the prison level, Pete, they bust out the take all the stormtroopers there. They unlock the cell doors. So all the clones that are there, Rampart and Nalase come out here. So they got themselves a squad.
They do. It's a good squad. I not to say I saw it coming, but I kind of knew most of the clones were going to be by their side. So it was a cool scene for sure.
Yep. And Nick, I do love what they call it, the battle plan. Rampart right there being the sniveling weasel he is, like, we just got out. Let's get the hell out of this the joint. Like, we don't need to stay around here. And Echo basically says, hey, like, we're clones. Like, we're all brothers. Let's go help our other brothers get out of here. So the clones correctly choose, like, okay, we're going to go help you guys out because you helped us get out of here.
Absolutely. This just shows the difference in the clone or the Republic versus the Empire.
Yeah.
Right there.
Also a telling line, you get the reunion between Nahla Se and Omega here, and she basically sets the win condition for them, Pete, because she tells Omega, like, you're not safe until Project Necromancer data is destroyed and Hemlock is dead. Like, it's basically like, if either of those two things are happening, they're gonna keep coming after you. But if you get accomplish both of these things, you're gonna get out of this okay. So basically sets us the goal for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a smart move by Nahla Se, and I think there was at least that loyalty instead of I'm gonna get out of here, I'm done. So it was definitely good.
Yeah, and I do like the last moment of Nahla Se and Omega here, Nick, because Omega volunteers to go help her, and she says, "No, your place is with the clones now. Like, my job is to go take care of this information."
Yeah, seems like a good way to go out. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, I don't know. Graceful
exit.
Yeah. Go with that.
Yeah, we can go with that here. Then we'll follow the Nahla Se thing here because Rampart is a choice. He decides, I'm going to be a coward. I'm not going to follow the clones into battle against these shadow guys. I'll go follow Nahla Se and see what she's up to. So he decides, I'm going to go in here, pick the weapon off a down stormtrooper. Basically says, tell me everything you know about Project Necromancer because I need information to blackmail the Empire, getting my job back. So, Pete, were you annoyed that basically we had all this told to us off screen and we never saw it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the major gripe I have with the episode is that we don't actually know what the hell it was. We have our speculations, obviously, and our assumptions, but it is a little annoying that you're finishing the show. The only thing I can speculate is maybe it's going to be explained at some other point in Star Wars history when it comes to shows coming out, but still, it was a tad annoying that we finally get to the end of the show, we're trying to figure out what this is, and they refuse to tell us.
Nick, did that bother you as much as it bothered me? Because I hate when they do that, when they tell you off-screen thing. Like, oh,
it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me at all. I think we know what it is. It's the cloning of the Emperor and how they're going to get it done.
Yeah.
And I think it's vital to the history of Star Wars that it fails at this point in time, because if it succeeded, he never would have had Snoke. He never would have been as deformed as he was in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
So I think we know what it is already, and the research had to get thrown away. And they had to start over and ultimately kind of succeed, which is why The Rise of Skywalker happens. So in reality, the beginning of this show, when we learned about what they were trying to do, we thought, oh, they're just trying to explain episode 9. Not really. They're trying to explain what happens so they can then explain what happens to make episode 9 make sense. So this is just like a story that in reality didn't really mean anything because it was all a failure anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least on the side of the Empire.
Yeah.
It was all a failure anyway. And then this gets resurfaced. I don't know exactly when. Maybe that's in a comic or a book. I'm not sure. Where they start doing this again. I'm assuming right before the Emperor does die. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be possible. So to me, we already know what it was. We don't need them to explain it to us. We don't need them to tell us we're trying to make episode 9 make sense on screen. And it was vital that it didn't happen in the show, or else the history just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. It's hard to keep that in mind with our discussion in a few weeks here. But I do like how this ends up playing out, Pete, where like Rampart kills Nahla, says, okay, you give me all I need. But he doesn't know she has a thermal detonator. She drops. He's like, oh, shit. And then the whole room blows up. So he's dead, too.
I mean, again, smart move by Nahla Se. I think she has a very strong episode, especially because we don't see much of her throughout the series, or comparatively to other characters, we don't see her that much. So it was definitely a strong episode for her.
All right. So when that happened,
yes,
and the detonator got dropped and everyone dies, does that not scream at you exactly what happened in Rogue One when Bodhi Rook dies? The pilot, when they throw the grenade in the ship and then everyone starts dying.
Yeah, because they basically trigger an avalanche of death for the rest of the episode.
So that was exactly what I thought was going to happen, where after this, we're all starting to die. And then, you know, spoiler alert, pretty much no one dies.
No one we care about.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
People did die, of course, but no one we cared. I was like, I was ready. I'm like, okay, now it's about to happen. Hunter's going to die. Crosshair's going to die. I'd be shocked if Hunter makes it out, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure here. So Omega ends up finding where they are. She tries to free them. She ends up getting caught by Hemlock. And we have this big battle sequence here where we have the Shadow clones versus our guys here. And with Echo and the free clones coming in to assist here, this is a pretty fun fight that ends up eventually being in favor of the Bad Batch, with the notable exception that Crosshair loses his hand.
He didn't need it. He didn't need it.
That hand freed him.
Yeah, it's fine. He doesn't need the hand.
Yeah, and we also get another big death here. So Shadow Clone number two, we've been speculating about all season. Like, who is this guy? What are we doing with him? Is he important? He's left in charge by Hemlock when Hemlock basically handcuffs himself to Omega and runs away to get himself off the planet. Like, this happens here. Shadow Clone number two gets in a big fight with, I think he's dealing with Wrecker. All of a sudden, Hunter comes out now. We're basically, like, electrocutes him to death, and we don't actually get his identity truly revealed here. So, Pete, they went full Maroc on us with him.
They did. That was literally what I was going to say. Not upset about it. I would love a little bit of closure when it comes to certain topics and certain characters in the show, especially if they're going to be dying or if it's a series finale. I don't like a lot of open-ended stuff. It just kind of leaves me more questions than answers. However, it's cool. It's a cool fight sequence. We get closure on the character, maybe not so much who it is, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Nick, did it bother you that we got Marocked again, basically, with this guy?
No. It wouldn't bother me. I still think he's tech. We just didn't get to see it.
I don't think he was. I think if he was tech, we would have seen it.
Yeah, that's true. But he looked like he was wearing the goggles. Not the actual goggles, but it looks like his helmet was made to be in the shape of Tech's helmet.
Yeah, maybe he was supposed to be a tech Crosshair merged cop like character.
Perhaps.
Because he's also the guy who's using the sniper rifle.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, maybe we find that out in the future, that's what they were doing with these Shadow clones, and they were combining clones.
Because, we saw that Hemlock, remember, back in Season 2, gives the goggles back to Hunter after he says, there was not much left of Tech, but here you go. So
maybe we also see the goggles later on in the show. I don't think they're actually his goggles. I just think they were, like, made his helmet look like the goggles.
No, but what I'm saying is I feel like that Hemlock went to try and find the body. Tech was basically mutilated beyond the relief. Made this grab some of his DNA and say, okay, maybe we can try and make a smart Shadow clone.
Right.
Yeah, and speaking of Mr. Hemlock here, so he's on the frisk because early in the episode he gets a call from Tarkin. He basically says, like, what's going on there? I'm coming. He's like, no, I got it under control. He's like, don't worry, I'll be here in a few hours. So Hemlock basically gets up with Scorch and Omega, try and leave. The Bad Batch, like, Hunter and Crosshair get up there. They shoot down Scorch pretty quickly. And then they get a very clever maneuver here from Omega, who has taken the little pick that she had to open the wall up. She stabs Hemlock in the leg. Crosshair hits the 1-in-a-million shot to shatter the handcuffs. And they basically shoot Hemlock to death off the bridge here. So, Pete, were you satisfied with how they got rid of Hemlock?
Yeah, I think it was good. I'm surprised it took so many shots to kill him. I guess he was wearing some sort of armor or something, because I feel like they were like four or five direct hits and all it really did was just knock him off. It didn't really seem like any of those shots were actually the killing blow, but it was. I think it was appropriate and I think it worked really, really well. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Nick, what do you think about the end of Hemlock here, who we have loved over our two seasons? He gets a very unglorious ending.
I don't think there's a better way he could have went out. Like, that was as good as it could have been. I think that was the best it could have been written. What else could you have done, you know?
Well, I have, like, my thought with him is, like, I think it would have been fun if they get away, then Tarkin shows up and, like, he basically kills him for being a complete failure.
I don't know if the Empire is there yet.
I think Tarkin's there. I think Tarkin was very pissed off with him, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would have liked it that way. I think it would just been like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So I definitely think this was a better option than maybe Tarkin killing him or reprimanding him or something.
Yep. So anyway, like, they end up leaving the whole thing here. So we'll start wrapping up things. Tarkin shows up as the shuttle is leaving. So they manage to get off the world. Tarkin comes aboard. They do an assessment here and he learns, okay, all our data is gone. Hemlock is dead. And Tarkin says, you know what? Screw Project Necromancer. Like, We're shutting it down. It didn't work. We're taking all that money that is being dumped into this project. We're putting into Project Stardust. And Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the Death Star, correct?
I think it's the laser specifically on the Death Star. No, I think you're right. I think it is the actual Death Star.
Yeah, so Pete, are you satisfied that this is how we got rid of the cloning for now? Is that basically Tarkin comes in, sees that it's basically gone to shit and says, okay, like, let's just divert the money to something more useful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very real thing. I mean, I feel like if projects fail, you divert the funds to something else in the real life. So, I mean, I think it works. It's actually kind of funny. I kind of wish Hemlock stayed alive because I feel like then you open the door to possibly having him come back in a live action or something, explain maybe the cloning or the resurrection process in 9. But I think that the diverting of funds was appropriate.
Yeah, I feel like we had Pershing for that. I thought they had no use for Hemlock.
Yeah, role. True. That is true. I always forget about Dr. Pershing. But I mean, he could have been working under Hemlock or something. You know, they could have swung it anyway. But you're right.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that kind of explains what I was saying earlier, too. It's just the pure existence of Pershing and the entire plot in The Mandalorian is just proof that, like, if this worked, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
Then why do we have another show where they're trying to do it again?
Yeah, and they're trying to find the right person because now they, with the data gone, they have no idea Omega is a perfect fit for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which does leave me, like, kind of confused because the Emperor's already dead. And they still don't, and they don't have the solution. Like, if they don't have the solution, and the Emperor's already dead, what are they like? How does it work?
My theory on that, we get more into this when we do the feedback show in a couple of weeks, the review of the whole season, is I feel like maybe once Tarkin gets offed on the Death Star, then Palpatine says, okay, let's put some money back into this cloning idea. Now that's actually a real threat to my life again.
I agree with that. My question is, like, with Palpatine already dead, and then, like, 5 years, 10 years later, you find the solution. Like, oh, here's how we do it. How do they make it work? Because he's been dead 10 years. Is it, like, something with his spirit and the Force that I don't understand?
I believe it's something like that. I believe it's, like, something like where, like, his body may be dead. It's, like, sort of like Voldemort and Harry Potter, where, like, his soul lives on in something else.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, P understands. There's, like, a Horcrux of Palpatine out there somewhere.
Maybe. I think maybe they just took his DNA and they started the cloning process earlier and they just needed that last piece of like a force sensitive person. And that's where like Grogu and them come into
play. Did they explain it in 9? Like he has a son or something? It was so bad.
Yeah, they just kind of yada yada a lot of things in 9.
Palpatine has a son, his granddaughter.
Yeah, allegedly the son was a clone. People really extend the materials.
Yeah. But the son was a clone. Why couldn't I just. All right.
Yeah, the son was a clone that chose to be good or something like that. I don't know. There was a lot of weird stuff going on with 9 in the background.
Yes.
All right. So let's sort of go back here to the Pabu situation here. We see that the kids who get rescued, they're temporarily there. Rex is going to try and help find their homes with Hunter. So in the meantime, Echo and Emery basically leave the planet where Emery basically is going to go talk to Chuchi about what she knows about what's going on over there on Pantori, Echo's three homes and clones. And this is the last we see of Echo for the entire episode, including the epilogue. He's never mentioned again here. So we'll talk about this again in a few weeks. But interesting that, like, we don't really know what happens to Echo after he gets on that shuttle.
No, we do not.
Pete, if we're looking for a future animated show territory, I think he's a strong direction you're looking in right now.
Yeah. I mean, we've said it before. I'm kind of tired of this timeline. I feel like we need to start branching out. And I think if we keep holding on and keep doing this without any closure, it's just going to keep just saturating the market with this timeline. So, I mean, yeah, 100% is a possibility. That's probably the direction you go in. But sure. Yeah, I don't know if I want it. But yeah, sure.
I just feel like
I agree with Pete.
Yeah, I think they're kind of teeing you up here that they're going to do some sort of like Rex and Echo, maybe in tandem with the path thing that we set up in Kenobi, sort of like exploring that sort of era, like early resistance kind of stuff.
The thing that I'm not like super excited about it, like whatever they decide to do, is like we just had a show, right, that took place in this timeline and they couldn't even figure out a storyline for it. Like, I'm not trying to bash the show, I like the show, but like in reality, the overall arching storyline is the exact same thing as The Mandalorian.
Yes.
So if you couldn't even think of a story now, you're gonna do it, excuse me, another show, and then you're gonna think of a storyline there. Like, what's it gonna be? Are you gonna do the cloning again? You about the Death Star? Like, is there another story to tell in this time period that we're not aware of? Because I feel like there isn't.
No, but like they seem to love this time period. We know they seem to love like the start of the rebellion. We see it told about like six different ways, Pete, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rogue One, Rebels, Jedi Survivor, just
Andor.
excuse me, Andor, this show, the list goes on.
Yeah, Pete, they love this storyline too much. I feel like they're gonna have another variation with Rex and Echo and something. I feel like that's coming.
I mean, again, I think it was a mistake, and I think I want to touch upon a point when we do our grades for the episode about the significance of this show in the ultimate Star Wars universe.
Okay, so I'll put a pin in that one here, and we get basically the rest of the team is kind of chilling at this one, and then we dip to black. At first, you think it's the end of the episode, but we get a big flash forward here with an epilogue, Nick, where we see that I think based on the timing of like what I've been seeing online, that apparently this is maybe like in the Rebels era of like around like 2 BBY, where Grown-up Omega is sneaking off to go join the rebellion, and old man Hunter is there with his beard, seeing the case like you can't sneak past me, and basically, Hunter says, like Omega says, like, you fought your fight. It's my turn to join the fight. Like, just keep an eye on Batcher, who must be very old at this point, and Hunt and Wrecker and Crosshair. So they've apparently retired, and she's going off to join the war. That's basically where we leave the show.
Yep. I didn't look at the time. I believe what you said when you said that to be BBY. That makes sense. That was kind of my assumption that it was in that Rebels area. I think it was a nice ending to the show. Good to see Omega grown up and see that everyone survived. I mean, not what we thought was going to happen at all
Nope.
in terms of survivors and whatnot, but still a happy ending for a show.
Pete, how'd you feel about the epilogue?
I think it was good. The storyline behind the epilogue was good. I just really wish they took the time to just find a way to make Omega sound older. I felt like it was the same exact voice as young Omega, and that just threw me off. It just seemed very lazy. Take a minute. Hire a different voice actress who's also Australian or from New Zealand, whatever, wherever it was from, and get something that is older. I just the voice sounded exactly like the Omega literally 2 minutes prior in the episode, and that threw the continuity off 1,000% for me. I was like, okay, it's just Omega in a adult, animated body. Like it's not nothing changed. Same thing with Hunter. Hunter was pretty much exactly the same, but you can kind of get away with it because Hunter was already an adult in the show. So yeah, that's the only thing that really bothered me.
The counterpoint I'll say to that is like Ahsoka in Rebels is like 17 years older than we see her in Clone Wars, and the same voice actress then as well.
But I bet you if you put the voices together, A, they're not going to sound exactly the same, but B, you're talking about two different shows that aired at two different times. I mean, how many year difference was Rebels and season 7, let's say, of Clone Wars?
You mean like
Like
years
real
of
time,
life?
like real time when the shows came out.
Well, Rebels came first, so
Yeah,
okay.
seven came later.
I think in terms of like let's say the last season she was in, which was like 2010, then to
Right. Oh, it was like
2014,
2012.
2012 to 2015, so 3 years.
Okay, so that's a 3 year difference, not a 2 minute difference. I feel like it's very jarring when it's literally the next scene. You have to have something, even if it's the same voice actress, do something post-production to make the voice actress sound older. Again, the voice actress was very good in the show. I have nothing against the voice actress. I just think it's very lazy by Disney just to use the same exact voice for someone who has aged apparently however many years. So it just a little lazy for me, in my opinion.
Nick, you remember the series finale of Gotham when I did something like this?
Did you watch Gotham?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, I mean that. Well, forget that was just a casting decision. It was the worst decision ever. But what is it? What were you trying to say?
I'd say it's funny because in Gotham they did it two different ways. Where with Selina Kyle they cast a brand new actress when they did the Flash forward, but with Batman Bruce Wayne they kept the same actor's voice but they just didn't show him on screen.
I mean, the guy, the kid they hired for Batman. He didn't grow. He still like looks like he's 10. He's like 27 now. He still looks 10. It's not their fault. They hired him like, oh, he'll grow up, and then by the end, he'll be a Batman. He still looks 10.
You know how easy it was? They could just use Emery Carr's voice actress.
Yeah. They
They
could.
could just use it and then changed a little bit about how she said the lines to make it more like Omega-esque. Like they literally had the actress right there for that episode that they could have used. And I would have been okay with that versus just reusing Omega's voice.
I agree with. They probably should have went with that route of using Emery Carr's voice actress.
And this is very minuscule. I mean, I'm literally nitpicking here. This is not something that diminishes the epilogue when it comes to the storyline or whatever, but it's just something that I noticed that bothered me. Like, it's just a lazy move by Disney.
Yeah.
So get this. This sounds very interesting. It doesn't matter at all, but I still find it interesting. The voice actress who played Emery Carr,
Okay.
her name is Kesha Castle Hughes, Keisha
Yeah.
Castle Hughes, whatever. One of her first films ever was Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, and she played the Queen of Naboo, who was just looked all sad during Padme's funeral. That's her literally her only
Role.
screen time. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
she.
found that really interesting.
Yeah, that's a fun little pull from them to bring her into the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm gonna put a pin in this point as well for when we do the post-series show next, like a week or two about what's happening here with Omega and the epilogue, where it feels like this epilogue to me felt like a place where it's kind of parking all these characters, where like if we never see them again, it's fine. I just think it's interesting because we have the whole thing with I know Michelle Ong, the actress who is the voice actress for Omega, said originally Omega had a bigger role in the future of Star Wars and they changed it. Which to me, I'll get more into this when we do the feedback show, but my basic theory is Boba Fett flopping as a show sort of killed the Omega storyline for the future.
Agreed. Now, I don't know why we're surprised that these characters lived. I was surprised until I thought about it. And I'm like, Dave Filoni's not killing his characters. He's going to bring them back to life.
He killed Tech.
True. But, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, he brings Maul back. Ahsoka's still alive after all these shows. Like, no one's going away. This is what he does.
All right. So, anything else you want to say about the epilogue before we go ahead to our trackers, how we wrap up the show?
I just have a question. Where were they?
They're still on Pabu.
That's what I thought. It looked like it was more built up.
Yeah, I mean it's been 15 years, so
Right,
I'm sure they probably
right,
built
right.
up. Because the Empire doesn't
Okay.
really know where it is.
Yeah. That's good. They're still there.
Yeah. I mean, basically the main three retired there from what it sounds like.
Yep.
All right, so let's go ahead here. We'll update our trackers here, things we keep track of every week throughout the show. I'll do all six next week, but the ones that hit this week, Pete, two more named clones this week. We got obviously Scourge who dies, and we got Emery Corrigan. So 40 named clones over the course of the season.
Yeah, I like it.
Outside of our main group.
Good number.
Yep. Next up here, Nick. Tarkin triggered the live action cameo tracker. So four total in this season, which is a lot of restraint from them.
I said we were going to get two of the three with the Emperor, Tarkin, and Vader last week. We got Tarkin and we got an Emperor mention, name drop, but we did not get an appearance in the other.
Yeah, we got name checked from Palpatine several times. All right. And last but not least here, Pete. The death tracker exploded this week. We ended the week with six. So we picked up deaths for Nalase, Rampart, Shadow Clone number two, Scorch, and Hemlock. So now 11 named characters died this season.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Like I said, we need to get rid of some characters because the question remains like where are they now, especially in later Star Wars content that's already been made. Later meaning content that is later in the storylines years, not the years that we see the media come out. So yeah, it makes sense. Not overkill though, no pun intended.
Yeah, they did. They almost doubled our count, but I feel like for the season, 11 name death is not a lot.
I agree.
All
Last
right.
time we saw.
Next up, you go to the MVP LVP board. These are the best and worst characters of the Bad Batch season three, as rated by us. Here's where we are through 14 episodes of the show here. So, Pete, before we get into the full list, you want to tell everybody what you did last week? You were not on the show last week.
Remind me actually. I can't remember. What I have Omega as the MVP?
You got Omega's the LVP, I believe.
LVP. Oh, LVP, right. And then who'd I have MVP?
I think you gave it to Echo.
Yeah. I gotta be honest, last week was a blur. I did watch it and I answered the I put the I updated my stuff on the sheet, and I got to be honest, I forgot. So I'm sorry if I'm giving you bad content right now.
Yeah, and assuming Omega's LVP was basically because of the whole thing, she didn't give the kids a battle plan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was just stupid. I just can't remember the Echo.
Yeah, because Echo was kicking ass the whole episode.
Yeah, that's probably it.
All right, so here's what the board looks like heading into the final grades here. So Shadow Clone number 2 on the top of the board, +5. Then our +4s are Ventress, Dr. Hemlock, Crosshair, and Emery Carr. Our +2s, Omega, Nala Se, Fennec Shand, and Echo. Kevin Kiner and Hauser, +1. Rampart got zeroed out after last week. CX1, I got -1. Along with the Godeye, Squid, Sid, Jax, Dr. Skuller, and our Oblivious Lieutenant from 2 weeks ago. The Empire, Fee, Genoa, and Rex got -2. Hunter and Wrecker, -3 each. K9X1 from the Mirror is -4. And Imperial Security, Rear at the Rear, -9. So let's take a look here. See who's first on the MVP section this week. And it is me. So for my MVP, I am going to go with, Omega here. I feel like she did a good job freeing the Zillow Beast, causing some chaos. She is able to stab Hemlock in the leg to get the clear shot for Crosshair. She decides to go up and join the Rebellion. So MVP week for Omega here. Pete, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, my MVP is Nala Se. I feel like even with everything that Omega does, if Nala Se doesn't successfully get rid of the data, this storyline doesn't end. So giving her the MVP.
Nick?
I'm giving it to Hunter.
Okay.
Hunter had a very strong episode. I think he showed a lot of trust in Omega with the whole Hemlock situation. I also think that he gave Crosshair the confidence he needed to hit the shot. He also killed Shadow Clone too. I think Hunter was a good leader in this episode, and good job, Hunter.
All right, Pete, who is the LEP of the week?
I'm giving it to Hemlock. Just typical Imperial overconfidence just led to his demise, so he gets the LVP.
To quote Pete,
the Empire are a bunch of fucking idiots. Pretty much.
Yep. Nick,
I'm going to give it to Imperial Security. This is how many guys breaking into the base total?
Three. Four.
Three plus Rampart technically was with them.
Like they caught Rampart. He didn't come breaking on his own.
Yeah, but they showed up together.
So five.
Like three of them with Rampart and Echo. So there's five guys. And look at what like five guys show up on your planet or your base. And this is what happens.
They shut down Project Necromancer with five guys.
Yeah. I know Rampart ended up getting caught, but you know, and dying, but they don't. Five guys, they left with four, and everyone they wanted to leave with, pretty much.
This is
a complete
disaster of a failure here. Well, Imperial Security is, I think, a good option here. I'm giving it to Pete for Hemlock, because Hemlock's strategy the entire episode was very poor from a guy we've seen who has a very tactical mind here. His whole plan was basically, my Shadow Clones will solve everything. And then his Shadow Clones fail, no backup plan. So Hemlock gets the LVP. All right, next up here, we're going to grade the episode on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is worse than 1978 Holiday Special. 10 is up here at the prison break of Andor for the pinnacle of Star Wars content. So, Nick, you can go first here for the grades. What do you got for a grade for this episode?
8.
8 on the finale.
Yep, real good. Nothing unbelievable. I'm not going to go back. That's not an episode that I feel like, oh, I gotta watch that finale again. Like, I would watch the finale of Clone Wars again. Those last four episodes, would love that. I'd watch the finale of Rebels again. Love that ending. Probably not going to go back and watch this, but really good.
All right. So my grades here, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give this an 8. Like, there was some stuff that bothered me. They did with some odd choices, with some questionable character motivations here. But I think overall, they did a solid job with the finale. And I mean, I was not like weeping like Dee Bradley Baker said with this episode, but I thought they did a good job sort of resolving the storylines here, with the exception of like one or two. So Pete, how about you?
I'm gonna give it a 6. It seems low, and if you'd let me explain a little bit, I'll tell you. Series finale to me is very important, especially when you're ending a show. To me, this series finale made it seem like three seasons of the show didn't need to exist in the Star Wars universe. We got zero answers when it came to Project Necromancer. We just got assumptions. We have speculations about if Tech's still alive or not and who these shadow troopers are and all this stuff. To me, a good series finale puts a button in a lot of things and opens the door to others. And I feel like all this is done has open and close the series that if it did not exist, it will not add or subtract to the Star Wars universe, in my opinion. Was it cool? Was it fun to watch? 100%. But to me, this show becomes a filler show just to get content instead of actually having some meaning. The only meaning that we could get out of this, in my opinion, is a speculation of what Project Necromancer is without any confirmation of what it actually is. So that's why I'm giving it such a low score when it comes to something that was technically very, very good. For what it was a great episode, but as a series finale, pretty, pretty weak.
It's usually something more like a season finale than a series finale.
Yeah, I would call this a season finale. I think if it was just a season finale, we had more coming. I would give it an 8 or a 9. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just think that if you're wrapping up a full series and you give us zero closure or even zero direction of where this is going, if you look at the whole series as a whole, tell me what we got from this that gives us any sort of importance for the Star Wars universe and what we know is coming and all that stuff. To me, it doesn't give us anything now.
Especially if Michelle Ong is right that they had bigger plans for Omega and they sort of scrapped them.
Right. So if the direction was there and they're like, we're not making as much money as we want to on the show, we're canceling it early and this is what it is. I mean, to me, it's a failure. Yeah. You don't produce a show just, in my opinion, especially Star Wars, when it comes to this stuff, especially in the same timeline we've always had. To me, you don't produce a show that has zero meaning. This, to me, had zero meaning. It was cool to watch. We got no references back to Boba Fett toward the end. We got no, it just seems like it was just cut short. And thanks for watching. And that's it. And to me, I didn't appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you all for sticking with us over the course of the season. And a lot of fun here. But we're going to check. I think, Nick, knows what we do is after do the full wrap up after the week after this podcast is over. But I think with this one, I think we might need a little time to marinate on our thoughts on this show before we circle back. Plus, we have some more content we got to cover.
I agree. We do. We have a new animated shorts coming this Saturday, and I still haven't watched the trailer.
Yep, well, we're going to get to that. That's going to be next week. But before that, we have a special Star Wars episode because Saturday is May the 4th, Star Wars Day. We are completing our trilogy of movie drafts. We're going to draft our teams of characters for the Dave Filoni Mandoverse crossover movie. So, Nick, we have completed a trilogy just like this show has with seasons.
You're definitely going to have to send these teams out to us like when we go see the movie so we remember, because I'm not going to have I have no clue who I drafted in even the Rey movie one that we did however many months ago. So we're definitely going to need to keep these saved somewhere.
I have them in a Google Doc already.
Good, good.
Yeah, so that's already done. That's going to be coming to you Saturday. So you get two pods in a week, Pete.
Double feature for Star Wars Day. You get this pod and then the next one coming in Saturday, right? We're recording for it. So So it's you guys, I mean, you have to be subscribed for that one.
Yep.
So, hey, gotta be subscribed for May the 4th.
Yep. We'll be here May the 4th, be with you. Once again, thanks you guys for coming on here, calling through this another season of the Bad Batch. So Pete, if you want to follow you on social media, how can they do that?
At Consy29, CONSY29, AP Tyler 308, created this background on Reddit that I'm using. So thank you for that, and make sure you check them out.
Nick, one more time, people follow us on Instagram and social media is like that. How can they do that?
At Sky Guys Podcast on Instagram, Twitter X, Threads, and TikTok.
If you can also follow me on social media, mphillips331, mphillips331. This is Gordon with Justin, the Suffering Podcast. We wrapped up the NFL draft, Nick. I was joined by Daryl Slater, the Star Ledger, to break down the Jet picks, the Giant picks, some of the crazy quarterback storylines. So NFL draft recap up there, over there this week.
What'd you think of the Falcons?
That was wild. Even your wild prediction, I don't think you could call that one.
No. And we got the schedule coming out soon, right?
Schedule should be coming out, I believe, a week from tomorrow. So
we'll be recording. I'll be doing that with you.
You might be coming over the mothership for a week.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for us. We'll be back on Saturday for some Star Wars Day coverage here. But until then, May the 4th be with you.